Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Our subject today is recognizing Jesus. Recognizing Jesus, or the recognition of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13 is where I want to zero in. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Please underline "knowledge of the Son of God." "To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us something about what God is after, or he's about, as far as his church is concerned. He gave gifts unto the church, fivefold ministry. And he tells us in verse 12 the purpose of the fivefold ministry. And then in verse 13, we see the end of the fivefold ministry. So verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4 tells us about the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Verse 12 tells us the purpose of the fivefold ministry. And then verse 13 tells us the end of the fivefold ministry. He says in verse 13, want us to focus on the end. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." So you see that the end of the fivefold ministry, the end of pastor, apostle, prophet, and all that, is when the people of God come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? The knowledge of the Son of God is important. In the Greek, the word translated knowledge is the word epignosis. Epignosis means recognition of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that the church has to come to a place where they recognize the Son of God? This is not to unbelievers. This scripture is to believers, that he gave believers gifts. You know, fivefold ministry is given to the church. And he tells us the purpose, and he tells us the end of it. The end of it is when the people of God, believers, come to a certain recognition of Jesus. Because you say that, well, as a believer, you have recognize Jesus. You have a knowledge of the Son of God. But the Bible is telling you that we have to grow to a place where we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That means that we are not there yet. The knowledge of the Son of God is not saying that Jesus, Jesus in church. It's not saying it is all about Jesus in church. It is a certain discernment of Jesus. It is a certain acknowledgement of Jesus. You will say that, well, as a believer, I acknowledge Jesus. He's my everything. No. The Bible is talking beyond that. Beyond just verbalizing that he is my everything. He's telling you that you have to come to a place of recognizing Jesus. Oh, but pastor, in our worship, we recognize him. He died for us. And we say, let's all praise Jesus and worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is talking about a certain discernment of Jesus, which we haven't come to, which we must be held by the fivefold ministry to come to, the recognition of Jesus. That is why the fivefold ministry must be careful that they don't put the recognition of themselves before the church. They have to put the recognition of Jesus before the church. Hallelujah. When everything is said and done, when we have gone out of this place, we must be more full of Jesus than of anybody else, than of ourselves, than of any other human being. Hallelujah. We must come to the place of recognition. And if you look at the verse 13, you see that the unity of the faith is put together with the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, they go hand in hand. Without the knowledge, the recognition of Jesus, the body of Christ, the church universal, all believers cannot come to the place of the unity of the faith. It is only Jesus and Jesus alone who unite us. Recognizing other people would disunite us. Recognizing, when I say recognizing, I hope you understand. I'm not saying that nobody should stand in front and talk to you. Hallelujah. But at the end of the day, we should see who? Jesus. And not anybody. Because if any of the fivefold ministry exalts themselves, there will be disunity in the church. One church will think he is better than the other church. One minister will think he is better than the other minister. And it will bring confusion and disunity and no peace. It is only when we come to the recognition, acknowledging Jesus, that we will have the unity that God desires for the body of Christ to have. Hallelujah. That is why I'm talking to you about recognizing Jesus or the recognition of Jesus. It is a place that we have to come to. Wonderful. I want us to understand as we move on that the main thing that tries to take the place of Jesus is the law. Can we all say the law? The law. The law is the main thing that tries to replace Jesus. The law strives for recognition. It tries to replace Jesus Christ. When I talk about the law, I am talking about the law of Moses. Not just the big ten, but also all the other laws, religious ceremonial laws, social laws, 613 in all, in the Old Testament. That is what I mean by law. The law can act as an anti-Jesus, an antichrist, you know. An antichrist doesn't just mean against Christ. It also means in place of Christ. So, other things can try to take the place of Christ. And those other things may not be bad. Actually, things that try to take the place of Christ, that tries to get the recognition of Christ, rather than us getting the recognition of the Christ, those things are not bad things. They can't be bad things. Bad things cannot strive with Jesus. Because we will see clearly that Jesus and this is like light and darkness. You can see it can't replace. Can darkness replace light? No. But something with the semblance of light can strive for the recognition of Jesus, can be anti-Jesus. Wonderful. That is why I say the main thing is the law. The law. Because the Bible says clearly that the law is good. In this case, the opposite of Jesus is not the devil. In this case, because the devil will be like darkness and Jesus will be light. In this case, what strives for our recognition is good. The law is good. It's something that has a semblance of Christ. Wonderful. So if Christ is the right way. It's not the wrong that will try to strive with Christ. It is the good that will try to strive with the right. Because the good can replace the right in our hearts. And we still feel cool Christians. But it's all right. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Look at the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 to 4. Romans chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. It tells us about what can strive with our dearest Jesus for recognition, which is the law. Can we all say the law? You see, the thing about the law is that the law is good. The thing about the law is that the law is the chief enemy when it comes to our recognizing Jesus. And when we talk about the law, we are talking about our own performance. When we are talking about the law, we are talking about our own performance. Because the law is given so that we will perform. The law shows us our performance. You come to that. But look at the book of Romans chapter 10. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they will be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Talking about the people of Israel, that they have a zeal for God. Please underline zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, in your life, you can have fire. You can be on fire for God. Yes, as the people of Israel, they have a zeal for God, but not according to the right knowledge. Is that right? Very good. But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, please underline ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, please underline own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's telling us about people who have love for God. Zeal for God means that the people love God. They love the things of God. They have devoted themselves to God. They have sacrificed everything for God. But the Bible says that all the sacrifice that they have made, all the things that their love for God, is not according to a proper knowledge. It's according to a certain knowledge that belongs to the past. The knowledge of the law. Because who is more zealous about the Ten Commandments than the Jewish people? Who is more zealous about the ceremonial laws of Moses than the people in the state of Israel? They have a zeal for God. Everything is about God, so to speak. But they don't have the correct knowledge. Because of that, the Bible says that they are striving for their own righteousness. How do they do it? Through the law. They want to obey the law. They want to establish their own righteousness so we can have our own righteousness. Somebody who loves God, somebody who is on fire for God, somebody who has dedicated himself to God can be on the trajectory of his own righteousness, working out something on his own in his zeal for God. On the other hand, God rather wants us to know his righteousness, which I've taught you about, which is a gift. We call it kingdom righteousness. It's different from the righteousness based upon our own performance that we try to do. We try to lead in our life every day as believers.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. These people, you know, sometimes people talk about their positional righteousness and then, if you like, practical righteousness. You see? But you see, there is nothing like that. There is nothing like that, because the care is that if you are not careful, what you call practical righteousness can negate the positional righteousness. Positional righteousness is God's righteousness that he gives us as a gift because we believe in what took place on the cross. The Bible is telling us that the people of Israel, they believed in practical righteousness, and it was against what? The positional righteousness, kingdom righteousness, which is a gift God gives you by faith. Okay? So look at verse 3. Is it verse 4? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is what? The end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Believes what? Believes that on the cross, Christ took our sins and gave us his righteousness as a gift, although we didn't do anything. Bible says that Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness, those who believe what took place on the cross. If you believe it, you have kingdom righteousness. The righteousness that the people of Israel, although they love God, but they don't accept the gift. They don't accept the cross. So he took place, their place, and gave them a certain righteousness which they must believe. So although they love God, all that they are doing, all the sacrifices that they are doing in their life is out of ignorance. And although human beings see it as a great sacrifice, yet before God, it is nothing. It is not, no matter how morally pure they live, no matter how they do lie, God still sees it as 50 rags. Why? Because they don't recognize the fact that Jesus Christ gave them righteousness. They don't take the righteousness of God. They are going about their own righteousness. And we as believers can be guilty of the same thing today, as you said to me. Where your focus is not on recognizing Jesus, but recognizing your own performance, your own practical righteousness, so to speak, to eclipsing the righteousness of God, which you get as a gift. Hallelujah. It is a practical thing we have to work out every day. It's not a one thing that took place 10 years ago when you received Christ. No. It is something that you must keep in focus all the time. So I want to spend the rest of the time, and I'm going to show you some three things or so that should tell you that you are recognizing Jesus. You are coming to the recognition of Jesus as a New Testament believer. That recognition of Jesus will bring us the unity of the faith as the people of God, as believers. All other things will be antichrist. Now, I want to show you the first thing now. Three things to make you know you recognize Jesus in your life right now. I want to show you three things that will make you know that I'm not recognizing myself, I'm not recognizing anybody, I am recognizing Jesus. Three things that you need to know. The first thing, I'll give you a background to it and I will state it, okay? Now, the background, the first way that we recognize Jesus is for you to understand that the law is about seeing yourself. The law is about seeing yourself and your performance. The law is about seeing yourself and your performance. This is what I mean. When God gave the law, it was to reveal mankind. It was to reveal what was inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. God knew that we could not keep the law. Man trusted that he could keep the law. God gave the law to man so that man will recognize what God recognizes, which man has not recognized. That you are weak in your flesh. That in yourself you cannot obey all the law. And if you disobey in one, you are guilty of all. You have broken everything. Man didn't know that. So God gave man the law so that the man see himself. So the law is about seeing yourself and your performance.
Because when you have the law, you look at how you are able to, thou shalt not steal, you are not stealing, thou shalt not convert, how you are not converting, is it desiring evil, something that belongs to somebody and things like that. The law reveals what is inside of you. It makes sin more sinful. It pronounces sin. It makes sin manifest. The sin which was hidden in you, which you didn't know, God gave you the law so that the sin will be manifest to you that you are a sinner. So the law is about what? Seeing yourself. Is that right? The kingdom system of grace is about seeing Jesus and his performance. What God wants us to see is Jesus and his performance. That's the kingdom system of grace. The law is about seeing yourself. It reveals yourself. Grace does not reveal yourself. Grace reveals Jesus and his performance or what he has done. This is the background. So I want to say, based upon this, that the moment you focus on yourself and your performance, you just place yourself under the law. I'll say it again. The moment you see yourself in your practical life and your performance in your practical life, you just place yourself under the law. Because the law aims at revealing you to you. So if you see yourself in your practical life all the time, do you know what it tells you? It tells you that you are living under the law. Although Christ is the end of the law, you are not recognizing Christ. On the other hand, the moment you focus on Jesus and his performance for you, you put yourself on grace. Practically, in your everyday life, the moment you see not yourself, but you see Jesus all the time. The moment you see Jesus all the time, and you see the performance of Jesus Christ for you all the time, you put yourself under grace. Then grace is activated for its benefit to come into your life. I'll say it in other words. The moment that you think that God looks at you based on your performance, you have come under the law. The moment you think that God looks at you based upon your practical performance, you have come under the law. It is not a recognition of Jesus who came to end the law. That means that you are not recognizing Jesus. You are recognizing your own performance, not the performance of Jesus for you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it? So in our life, God wants us to always have Jesus in mind. It's wonderful. Never forget it. He instituted that to us, what we call the Holy Communion. He says, do this often in remembrance of me. In other words, I want you to remember me all the time. Don't forget. The tendency in the church is for you not to recognize Jesus, but he wants us to always recognize him in our practical life. How do you do that? You focus on him and not on your performance, not on your practical life. Because your practical life, all that it will do is that it will let you put your hand on your chest, beat your chest and say, I did it. I did it. But recognizing Jesus will always make you overlook your performance and say what? He did it. He did it. All the glory goes to him. He did it. It's not as if you are not doing anything in your life, but that is not what you are seeing. You are seeing Jesus and his performance. The devil doesn't want you to see it. See Jesus and his performance. Because if you see you and your performance, there will be something that you fall short of. And then he will use it to accuse you. So that he just destroys you. You see? The second way that we recognize Jesus, I'll give you a background to it also, and then I will state it for you. The second way that the people of God must recognize Jesus, this is a background. I need to build this background so that you understand me. Okay. The background is that the law is a tool of the devil to condemn us. Anytime you see the law, you can even put in your own performance. Your own performance is a tool of the devil to condemn us. Because your performance will never be good. If you do it, if you pray for 1 hour, the devil will come and accuse you. That you said, what? Pray for 1 hour. You, who did that thing? You think 1 hour is enough? Some people are praying 2 hours. So that you feel down. So don't focus on your performance. Because no performance will be good before the devil. He will find a loophole to accuse you. You say, I do my quiet time all the time. Hey, you say, some people do better than quiet time. Some people, they read the Bible every day. And to those people who say that, well, I mean, my performance is I read the Bible every day. He said, you do it every day. Some people do it day and night. I'm telling you, when I went to the Holy Land, I went to a place where people had vowed that they wouldn't talk to human beings. They only talk to God. I don't think you've come to that place yet. When we went, our talk guide said that don't try to talk to them. They don't talk to people. They are the people who are watchers on the wall, Isaiah chapter Isaiah 60 something, that they will not give rest to God until God makes Jerusalem a praise in the air. They are there. They are there. The state of Israel even pay some of them to do what they are doing. Pay on payroll to be doing that. It's true. It's wonderful. The devil, even them, the devil will find something. Say, you are not talking to men, but you see human beings. And you did verbal talk. You don't know how this accuser of the brethren is like. Never, never see your performance. That is why the law is a tool of the devil. Your own performance is a tool of the devil to use to accuse you and condemn you. That's the background I want to give you. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. Let me show you something, because some people think that, well, pastor, you must be very, very careful. How can you say that the law which God gave is a tool of the devil? Ladies and gentlemen, the law was not given by the devil. It was given by God, but it armed the devil. The law is actually the armor of the devil. I'll show it to you in the Bible. You see? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse number 9. Look at verse 7 for context. For if the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. Please underline ministration of death. Ministration of death. Something was ministering death. And the Bible says that thing was written and engraved on stones. Do you know who wrote that thing on stones? It's talking about the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God on stones, engraved on stones. The Bible says that it was a ministry of death. Okay, so we know we are talking about the law. Come to verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation, so the law, your own performance is called the ministry of death. Your own performance is called the ministry of condemnation. Had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceed much more in glory. Do you know the ministry of righteousness? It means that when we start, we must minister righteousness to people. We must remind people they are righteous. You are righteous. You are ministering righteousness to people. But on the other hand, you can minister not the gift of righteousness. You can minister what? Condemnation. How do you do that? When you let people focus on the law or their own performance. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you how the devil arms himself with the law or your own performance. Colossians chapter 2 and then verse number 14. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting. This is Jesus on the cross. On the cross, he wiped out the handwriting. Please underline handwriting. Handwriting. It gives us an idea of the law that God wrote with his own hands on stones. The law of Moses. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement, what God requires of you. What God requires of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Those are requirements. Having wiped out, Christ is the end of the law. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us. Why was it against us? Because we could not do it. Which was contrary to us. It was contrary against our flesh. Our flesh could not do it. And he has taken it out of the way. Can we all say out of the way? The law is out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So on the cross, Jesus was dying, but at the same time, he took the law and he was nailing it. God was nailing the law to the cross. When they were nailing him, they were nailing also the law. Verse 15 now. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Look at the scripture. Verse 14 says that God canceled out the handwriting which was contrary to us. He nailed it on the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. How did he disarm principalities and powers? How did God disarm principalities and the powers? That is the question. Do you know how he disarmed them? By taking their armor, which is the law, and nailing it on the cross. He said that you cannot accuse them anymore because of what? I have taken their place. No more are they supposed to look at their obedience to the law, their own performance practically as believers. They have to look at what? His performance on the cross for us. So the devil arms himself with the law. And that is the law he uses. It's a tool of the devil. He arms himself with your performance. He arms himself with it. And then he comes and then he is fully strengthened to accuse you based upon your performance. But Jesus Christ disarmed him. He took the law away from his hands. Hallelujah. Because he gave righteousness as a gift to us.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassyga.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.